Are you a grill master? Are you looking to take your barbecue to the next level? Then you absolutely have to try Cox Sauce Barbecue Sauce. Y'all, I swear there was no relation here, but I wish there was, because this is some of the best barbecue sauce I've ever had. Originally created by the co-founder of Bojangles and kept in the Cox family for generations, Cox Sauce is a sweet and tangy Carolina Red barbecue sauce that goes great on chicken, ribs, pork, shrimp, and seafood. Just drizzle some on before everything's done, and you'll get that sweet, perfect tang with a touch of heat. Barbecue sauce also makes the best gift since it's kid-friendly and cheaper than whiskey. Head to their website and get a free bottle when you purchase three, or stock your pantry and get 25% off when you order four. That's coxsaucebbqsauce.com. All right, here we go. Welcome to episode 119 of Cox Talking Gamecocks, brought to you by Cox Sauce Barbecue Sauce. I am your host, Tim Cox, where I will keep every episode from 1801 to 2001. And in case there are any new listeners out there, what I mean by that is I try to keep the podcast from 18 minutes in 1 second to 20 minutes in 1 second. 1801, the founding of USC, and 2001, A Space Odyssey. But, you know, don't get on my case too bad if I miss it a little bit here and there. But happy new year, Gamecock Nation. We brought in the new year, turning the new page, saying goodbye, making resolutions, all that jazz. So New Year's Eve is kind of overrated anyway, sort of manufactured fun. But I mean, from a college football fan perspective, New Year's Eve kicked ass. Just amazing college football playoff semifinals. TCU going to the national championship, hypno-toed. Like, what is going on? And then Ohio State missing that kick literally at the strike of midnight. That was bonkers. So, yeah, I mean, New Year's Eve was more eventful than normal, I guess, because of that. So yeah, happy new year. I hope your 2023 is filled with lots of great memories, Gamecock wins, and everything else. So got a big episode for y'all here. Gonna just jump right into things as the main sports were all in action this past week. So starting with the women's basketball team, they entered SEC play with a huge victory, literally huge margin of victory, beating Texas A&M 76-34. Oh my gracious, can't speak on it. I mean, they only allowed 6 points in the first half. And I mean, wow. You know, I think it's, you almost forget sometimes just how good our team is. I mean, really, like, I know we're coming off a natty and we just were really cooking last year, but the margin of victory that we have been seeing this game and the past couple, like, that just doesn't happen, right? Like, there are good teams in women's college basketball, but they're not beating their league opponent by like 40 points. Like, this is insane. Like, our team is so good. And yeah, that's not always going to be the case, but we have a pretty damn good team, and it's something we should be excited about and definitely proud of here. But, you know, this is exactly what you want to see when you're facing an SEC team, but a team that is struggling, right? Like, I've said it 1,000 times. good teams beat the teams you're supposed to beat, and great teams handle that with ease. And that's just exactly what you saw. A&M is not that good, but hey, they're still an SEC opponent, and you want to handle your business there. Speaking of handling business, some player highlights for y'all here. Zaya Cook with 14 points and Talaysha Cooper with 15 points and 5 rebounds. Now, Cooper, she is a freshman, and she has been having a nice start to her college career a couple of times coming off the bench and getting at or above double figures. She can kind of do it all, so a name to keep your ear out and your eyes out for as we head later into the year here. Now, the ladies' next game is Monday night against Georgia in Athens. Georgia is not half bad in their own right. They are 11-4. However, they did lose their SEC opener, so they are 0-1 in conference. Now, my crows to the game here, and for any new listeners here, you'll hear me say this for every game. I don't do keys to the game. Everyone has their keys. We have our rooster crow, so I have my crows to the game. But for this matchup here, get Aaliyah Boston going. You know, for whatever reason, she was held in check a little bit more than we're used to against A&M. So get her going again. And then my second crow is slow down Diamond Battles. She's the leading scorer, sort of the do-it-all player for UGA. I believe she's a senior, so you want to be able to slow down their best player. I know, groundbreaking. But so we'll root them on there. And that brings me to the men's basketball team. And, you know, I said this before their game, but their game was played the night after the Gator Bowl. So this was last Friday night. And I honestly just feel like it got lost in the shuffle for a lot of people. You know, I mean, I'm going to get to that game in a second, but you might have just been drowning your sorrows a little bit and or maybe traveling back to home or whatever it may be. So it was funny, just Twitter and social media, it just, you honestly might not have known there was a basketball game being played. But unbeknownst to a lot of us, the men got a nice win beating Eastern Michigan 74-64, making it 2 in a row wins for the Gamecocks. So big night for the basketball team. Sort of a shot chaser there for Gamecock fans after the Gator Bowl there. But going into this game, you know, I talked about Gigi Jackson going against a fellow former top recruit in Imani Bates at Eastern Michigan. And I think it really brought the best out of Gigi, but also Bates. But Gigi got a career high 24 points, showed off the range with multiple three-pointers. I mean, we really got to enjoy like what we have going on right now with Gigi Jackson. This does not happen a lot for South Carolina, where you have this guy who is a surefire lottery pick. Guy can do it all, top recruit. Like, whatever happens with this year happens, but Gigi can do it all. He was throwing down dunks, he's getting boards, but he can hit the three. Like, this is an NBA player we're watching, so it's so cool. But back to this game here. Essentially, South Carolina, we were able to build up that 10-point lead going into the half, and Eastern Michigan was having trouble finding offense outside of Bates. So that 10-point differential ended up holding in the second half. So as South Carolina gets ready to open their SEC play, this is great for them, right? You get 2 weeks in a row, or 2 wins in a row, excuse me, where, you know, you get that nice showing. You were able to have that lead going into the half. Defensively in the second halves, were able to hold up well. And you got as much momentum as you could hope for just for this season, right, going into league play. So player highlights from this game, I mentioned Jackson's 24 points. He also had 9 rebounds. Mechie Johnson with 10 points. And then Chico Carter Jr. with 15 points. That's right. And that's the type of contributions this team will need entering SEC play if you want to be competitive, right? So with that being said, the men's next game is Tuesday night at Vanderbilt. Vandy has an identical record to Carolina with 7-6. Generally speaking, they are a better defensive team than the Gamecocks. Offensively, it's somewhat comparable. So this game could be hard fought, could come down to the final minutes here. My crow to the game is find someone outside of the big three to contribute at or near double figures. Just like you saw with Chico Carter this last game, it needs to be someone like him or really Jacoby Wright. Those are the two guys who I feel like can contribute in that way, at least maybe with some level of consistency. But that really is the crow for most of these games for this team. Outside of Mechie, Gigi, and Hayden Brown, can you find someone to get to double figures outside of those guys? But with that wrapped up, that brings me to my Gator Bowl football recap here. So everyone take a deep breath, you know, shake it off. But the Gamecocks fell to Notre Dame 45-38. And despite the loss, I mean, it was just so good. It felt so good to be cheering for this team once again. And I mean, it was a hell of a game. It really was. Both teams showed up ready to play. It was about as electric as you could ask for of a game. I mean, and shout out to the Gamecocks who traveled. Our fans, it was noticeable on TV. It was loud. It really just felt like a home game. And it was a great game. I mean, it really was. Sometimes with bowl games, teams have rust. They don't show up ready to play, all that jazz. And that was not the case. So at a minimum, we got a really, really great game out of it. And what is crazy about this game is the sheer number of players that South Carolina was down. I mean, I talked about, you know, we all knew there was the good amount of opt-outs, transfers, things like that. But I did not realize just the sheer number of it, not just for opt-outs and transfers, but you had guys who were hurt that didn't play. It was like, honestly, it looked like about 20 guys out who didn't, like, who were on the roster previously, not playing in this game. So anytime you're looking at that, you're going to be at a disadvantage. But, you know, the Gamecocks fought like hell, right? And that's what they did all season long. And so it's definitely something that we can be proud of. And if we're going to be glass half full about this game, I would say, one, I mean, any coach will tell you that the bowl game practices are critical for the continued development of the whole team and all that jazz. So, like, if I'm going to be really boring about it, I'm going to say, well, at least we got to get more practices. But two, this game was a fantastic opportunity for younger guys to get quality playing time in pressure situations against a very good opponent. So that honestly could pay dividends when it comes to hitting the ground running and starting the 2023 season well. Because that's what you're going to need when you're replacing some of the guys that you are on this roster. You're going to need young guys to step up and contribute immediately. And so hopefully, by getting some good experience in this game, they're able to feel a little bit more comfortable with it, right? And then also, I mean, despite the loss, this was a great representation of the program and to be put in such an exciting bowl game, one that came down to the wire, national audience, all that jazz. I honestly feel like it's only going to help with the offseason momentum, recruiting, and all that jazz. But I don't know. It just still sucks to lose. I mean, I'm trying to look at it glass half full, but it just, especially after the start to the game, it honestly felt like after that first quarter, we might run away with that thing, right? And to allow Notre Dame to come all the way back and end up win, it just, it really does sting, you know. And I just think what you saw was the guys were gassed by the end of it, and especially on defense, when you're missing multiple starters and other depth pieces, like, that's going to be the case. You know, they were doing the most they could with it. They were just thin. They were gassed. They were tired, you know. And, you know, also, I think Adkins and Juice, I think they were banged up in that game. I mean, you saw both guys come out, but, you know, yes, they did come back on. But I think it was clear that they were not 100%, and that just sucks too. So, I mean, yeah, like, there's positives from the bowl game and getting to a bowl game, period, but it obviously sucks to lose. It just does. But that brings me to what I liked and didn't like from the game overall for the team. It's the fight they showed. Like I just said, you know, despite being down a whole lot of guys, despite having the momentum completely change to Notre Dame's way, those guys fought to the very end. I mean, it came down to the last drive. And that was a characteristic of this team this whole year, where they fought even when they were down. But when it was the hard-fought, close games, they were there. And I think it's just the character of this team, the culture in the building there. And you got to be proud of it, right? And then also, I mean, loved Kai Kroger, a.k.a. Kaisman, just throwing that dart on the touchdown. I mean, there's got to be the stats. It's like he's like 6 for 6. He's got 3 touchdowns, something like that. It's insane. That's got to be in the record book somewhere. I mean, Kaisman. Absolutely, Heisman. Now, on the offensive side of the ball here, what I liked was the creativity and the pace they played with in the first half, right? You open the game and it looked like that side of the ball picked back right wherever they left off, right? They looked like they picked things back up where they left off in those last 2 weeks, especially to open the game. Later on in the game, it was not quite the case. I'll touch on that in a bit. But I also liked but loved Xavier Leggett. Just incredible. You know, I mean, I was talking before this game, who was going to emerge as that wide receiver 2 next to Juice. And I think it was clearly X. But even before the game, he said he plans to come back to school next year, said he has more to do, felt like he hasn't lived up to his potential. And if this game is any indication of what's to come, it could be very exciting for the Gamecocks. 7 catches, 78 yards, and 2 touchdowns. I mean, and that second touchdown was an absolute lightning bolt. I mean, the throw from Spencer was just insane. Like, on a dime, flushed out of the pocket. But Xavier's body control with the 1 foot down and catching it while falling out of bounds, mind you, is honestly one of the greatest things you'll see. And he is such an exciting player because of that potential he talked about. He's a bigger body guy. We know he's fast. He's good on kick returns. And it has felt like he's little by little by little gotten better as a wide receiver. Him and Juice could be a very fun combination. Fingers crossed Juice comes back too. But yeah, just loved Xavier Leggett in that game. Now, what I didn't like on the offensive side was the inability to establish a consistent running game, right? It looked like Juju might be able to do so early in the game, but there was just not much going on past that. I mean, Juju was our leading rusher, and he had 28 yards, 6 carries for 28 yards. So that's just not going to get it done, right? And it's just something that we said all year, got to get the running game going, and it was just this inability to. Now, obviously, again, that room is thin, but even so. But and then I also didn't like how the run game was seemingly abandoned in the second half. Again, definitely a byproduct of not having the depth there and not being able to establish consistency. But there is something to be said, like when you can turn to your offensive line and say, hit the other team in the mouth. Like, we're trusting you guys to get a push. And when you just sit back in pass protection, play after play, drive after drive, I think it takes a toll mentally on the offensive line. So I don't know. And I didn't like the second half offense sputtering a good bit, you know, sort of the opposite of the first half. And there were definitely questionable penalties throughout that half, putting us behind the chains and things like that. But being able to only score one offensive touchdown in the second half, that just really hurts your team. So with all that, you know, it will be good to welcome a new and hopefully improved offense under Dowell Loggins. Like, we've seen, like, the playbook that we have, you know, whoever was calling, you know, the plays the last three games. I think it was Freddie Kitchens in the bowl game. Like, thank you. I think it will be good for a change. Now, on the defensive side of the ball here, what I liked was Jordan Birch. Wanted to give a shout-out to him. He was all over the field. Definitely one of the best games he's played at South Carolina, in my opinion. Also, especially in that first half. Also, I loved the turnovers. It was a turnover parade. Three interceptions, two pick sixes, just incredible. I still do not have words to describe the 100-yard pick six from O'Donnell Fortune. I mean, that was just everything. I was cheering, literally speechless, like jumping up and down, waving my hands, like not speaking, because I was in shock from what I witnessed. So happy for him, and someone that really could be a nice contributor for this team next season. DQ Smith with the other pick six, and those two scores were critical, really, in Carolina being in the position it was at the end of the game, especially Fortune's, right? Now, what I didn't like defensively was giving up 45 points and losing the game late. You know, it just is what it is. The lack of depth was a huge factor, but losing the lead late, getting pushed around late in the game was just tough to see. Obviously something that none of us liked. And I didn't like giving up those huge chunk plays. You gave up a 75-yard and a 44-yard play to give up scores. One is bad enough, but two is just brutal. But overall for the game, I mean, you know, it does sting, right? And you never want to end the year with a loss. But honestly, y'all, like, I really think this will just be a footnote on what was an incredible and historic season otherwise. This team did incredible things and was able to secure a very nice signing class because of it. Shane Beamer has this program headed in a great direction, and I'm really loving what he's building. You know, there's obviously big decisions for a few guys, namely Spencer Rattler, Juice Wells, and it does feel like that if he and Juice come back next year, it could really be special. So we just got to wait and see and cross our fingers. You know, we got a great piece of news late in the weekend that DK Joyner's coming back, DeCarrion coming back for one more year. So excited to see him. He is a Gamecock through and through. He could be someone that could also be a great contributor and leader for the team. So, I mean, shoot. You looking at potentially an offense with Xavier Leggett, Spencer Rattler, DeCarrion Joyner, and Juice Wells. That's something you can build off of. So hopefully Spencer and Juice see that. Please come back. But now it's really just that waiting game until next football season. And, you know, there will no doubt be news to follow from. I'll keep you in the loop and all that. But now let's just pour our full attention to our basketball teams and hibernate until next football season. But with that, y'all, that wraps up this episode. Please follow me on social media. Twitter is Cox Gamecocks. Instagram is just the name of the show, Cox Talking Gamecocks. And please like, subscribe, and review the podcast. I appreciate all y'all. Go Cox.